بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى وتبارك في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مثل الذين كفروا بربهم أعمالهم كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء ذلك هو الضلال البعيد. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with this beautiful gift of Ramadan. For indeed it is a month of spirituality and a chance for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amidst the hustle and bustle of everyday life, this month is the lifeline that we desperately needed. We find patience through fasting, tranquility through night prayer, a month where we find purification through repentance, comfort through dua, and contentment through zikr. So this month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is an ideal opportunity for us to use every moment that we have to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of Ramadan is such a thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in a hadith that everything has a reward, but Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bi, that fasting is for me and I will be the reward. In one narration, it also comes, wa ana ujza bi. So there's two interpretations here. The first one being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will take charge of rewarding a fasting person. And the other interpretation is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will become the reward of that person. So one is Allah rewarding and the other Allah being himself a reward for that person who fasts in the month of Ramadan. That's why Ibn Sirin rahimahumullah, he mentions and he says that if I were given a choice between two rakats of salah and jannah, I would choose two rakats of salah. So the people turned around and they said, oh Ibn Sirin, why is it that you would want to choose two rakats of salah over the beauties of Jannah? So he mentioned that he said that in Jannah lies all what I want, but in salah lies what my Allah wants. And if it's something that my Allah wants, then I know the reward will be greater than what I can even fathom and think. So it shows us the importance of the month of Ramadan and how we're supposed to view the fast in the month of Ramadan. A person will have everything in Jannah for him or her. Everything will be given to them, whatever they desire, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ, whatever you desire and whatever your eye desires, whatever you want. Imagine your makeup artist is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that you desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. But there's a Quranic ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ أَلَا إِنَّ الْحُسْنَ الْجَنَّةَ وَالزِّيَادَ النَّظْرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. That person who does good, there will be a reward for him and an extra. In the tafsir of Jalalain, it mentions, أَلَا إِنَّ الْحُسْنَى إِنَّ الزِّيَادَ الْحُسْنَى. That what is meant by increase is good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate a person. But what is meant by ziyada, that extra, is النَّظْرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. The ability to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his true form. Imagine my beloved mother and sister, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal grants us all Jannah, inshaAllah. Everything that you can desire, everything that you can imagine, ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. No heart has ever perceived, no mind has ever thought. Nothing can compare to what Jannah is. You have everything that you could desire and more. And then comes the day in Jannah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will come to the Jannatis and ask, is there anything else that you require? A Jannati will say, oh my Allah, we have everything. What more can we ask for? We have a long life. We have extended beauty. We are even more beautiful than the hoors of Jannah. Nothing more can we want. But is there something extra? Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal will gather the people of Jannah and tell them, yes, there is something extra. So then it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all the jannatis and everyone will greet and meet and be excited as you would gather on the day of Jumu'ah when everyone greets and meets in the same manner. People will greet and meet and talk to each other and talk about this world and how it used to be and where they are right now and how beautiful things are and, you know, no aches, no pains, and they'll keep on talking. And then all of a sudden Allah himself will come And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the people of Jannah, do you know why you are here? They will turn to Allah. Only Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil that existed between him and the Jannatis. And everyone will look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His true form with their naked eye. Subhanallah. It is mentioned that they will gaze at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for multiple years. In the hadith, it comes as 70 years. Ulama write and they say whenever the mention of 70 years is given in the hadith, it can mean two meanings. One is the meaning of it being 70 years, but the other is the meaning of it being a huge amount of time. As we would say sometimes when we talk to the children or when we talk to each other, we'll say, you know, there were so many people, like I lost count. It countless amount of people, or you just give a huge rough figure, even though it might not be to that amount, you will say 500, 600. So yes, 70 years refers to the fact that a person will keep on staring for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an eternity. And such will be the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he or she will forget about every bounty given to them in Jannah. They will forget about those huge castles that Allah rewarded them with. They will forget about the rivers and fountains made from honey, etc., milk, etc. They will forget about the jewels that have been given to them. Every bounty, just staring at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be nothing compared to the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you imagine when the hadith is read that Allah himself will be the reward? Allahu Akbar, can you imagine what will be the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day? The riwayat goes on further to mention, although this part here is questionable, however, in the point of fazilat and virtue, I'll mention it inshallah. It is mentioned that after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. And Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam was so beautiful when he used to recite the kitab of Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam. Then he would read so beautifully that the birds and the mountains used to read with him. That's what a beautiful voice he had. Thereafter, the Zabur, that was the kitab of the Zabur. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. It is mentioned that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to read, people who are not Muslim, just by hearing his voice, automatically would become Muslim. To such an extent that the Quraysh used to often tell people that whenever he recites Quran, you must put your fingers in your ear because it will bewitch you. So such was the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's recitation. He too will recite Quran. Then it is mentioned that Allah himself will recite Quran, because the Quran is the kalam and the direct speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the surah that Allah will read? It is the surah of Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran. That surah that is dedicated, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can you deny? This is a surah that shows the full force of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you imagine today we get so taken by the melodious voices of our qurra, of our imams, etc. But can you imagine the voice of the one who has created voice for everyone else? Allahu Akbar. So my beloved mother, let us understand the point of the month of Ramadan. As I said, it is a month where we find different things. Tranquility, as I mentioned, through night prayer. Purification through repentance. Comfort through dua. Contentment through zikr. So you and I as a Muslim, we have to sit and wonder that this beautiful month of Ramadan offers us a unique blend of spiritual growth and a chance of self-reflection. But the question that I want to ask today is, are we getting all the above? Are you getting all of the above? It is the month where you enjoy worship. Are you enjoying worship? It is the month where you enjoy Quran. Are you enjoying recitation of Quran? It is the month where you enjoy praying. It is the month where you enjoy fasting. It is the month where you enjoy dhikr. But are you enjoying all of this? Look, I know you got a lot on your shoulder. You got kids to worry about, husband to worry about. You've got to worry what to make for iftar, what to make for sehri, how many savories left over. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And to be honest, I'm not going to take that away from you. And I want to say at this point in time, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, jazakallah, ahsanul jaza, for all that you do in the household. Because truly you are the engine that drives the home. You are the reason why ibadah in your home can take place. And I know this simply because this is the very same case in my home, and I'm quite sure that this is something that takes place in the home of every Muslim. So there's no amount of reward that we can put as menfolk unto you. But all I can say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnesses and Allah knows that you are definitely the driving force behind everything at home. It is through you that alhamdulillah that husband has the ability to have iftar, and is through that food he's given the strength to stand up for the Taraweeh Salah. It is through you that that sari is being made that gives him the energy to perform the Tahajjud Salah. It is through you that feeds him and takes care of his needs, and not only him but also your children, that throughout the day alhamdulillah they are able to keep that fast without any complaint whatsoever, because they know they come home to a proper meal made by you. So you too, alhamdulillah, will get a portion, not a portion, you'll also get the very same reward that they would get for all the things that they went through for that day. So again, jazakallah ahsanul jaza. Then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each and every one of you for all that you do for your household in the month of Ramadan. But again, coming back to what I was mentioning, are you experiencing the Ramadan that you want? That is a question that you have to ask yourself. Is this Ramadan going exactly as you want it to go in terms of your spirituality, not in terms of how many dozens of samosas and spring rolls and all the other goodies that you make, not in terms of that. Are you experiencing the Ramadan, the spirituality that you want to experience? So what is the solution? Do we kick the husband out and the kids on the road, shut the door and get on the musalla? Do we hibernate in our rooms for 30 days and order food from here, there and everywhere? We often say that I just don't have time. But the truth of the matter is, my beloved mother, the reason for us not having time is that because we have failed to prepare for the month of Ramadan. But all is not lost. We still have time. You still have a chance to make this Ramadan the best ever Ramadan that crossed your life. Someone said so beautifully, by failing to prepare, you are actually preparing to fail. By failing to prepare, you are actually preparing to fail. In other words, not preparing correctly, you are actually setting yourself up for failure. And trust me, this is a common problem in both men and women. Today, we as Muslims, in general, we have become so well prepared and organized when it comes to our dunya. Yet, we are so unprepared when it comes to our deen. And this is a real tragedy. Yet we have all the necessary knowledge and skills to make our Ramadan spiritually successful. But because we hanker and run after the dunya, we end up foregoing our deen, and this is detrimental to us. Let me explain. So what is the highest form of value? A lot of people will say the highest form of value is cash, right? Because that's what we all are after. But let me ask you this question, my beloved mother. If I had to give you $1 million today, but you're going to have to die tomorrow, which one would you want? The million or your life? Obviously, you would want your life. So this means that time is more valuable than cash. If I had to give you $1 million today, but then you would have to get sick for the rest of your life, which one would you want? You would want your health, right? So that means health is more valuable than cash. A poet so beautifully mentions, and he says, "Ma an'ama Allahu ala 'abdin bi ni'matin awfa min al-'afiyah, wa kullu man ufiya fi jasadihi fa huwa fi 'eeshatin radiya. Al-malu hulwun hasanun jayyidun 'ala al-fata lakinnahu 'ariya. Ma ahsana ad-dunya lakinnaha ma'a husniha ghaddaratun faniya." That there is no "Ma an'ama Allahu ala 'abdin bi ni'matin awfa min al-'afiyah." There is no beautiful bounty more better than the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, better than the gift of health. وَكُلَّ مَنْ أُوْفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. Whoever has good health will lead a pleasing life. أَلْمَالُ حُلُّوًا جَسَدٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَىٰ لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ. Money is sweet and good for the young, but it's a shame upon a person. مَا أَحْسَنُ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَا حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. How beautiful is this world, yet despite its beauty, it's nothing but a treacherous place that we all have to live in. So if I had to give you $1 million today, and I told you, my beloved mother, that you are such that your mother or your daughter or your child had to die tomorrow, What would you do? What would you choose? This shows us that relationships are more valuable than cash. So the question is, why are we being controlled by that thing that has no value, that everybody makes it seem to have some value? So we run off chasing after this dunya. But we have to understand that at the end of the day, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal has made you Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you. And when we come into this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created you except for one responsibility and one duty, and that is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But did we, whilst we're running after this dunya, did we ever stop to look back and look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and what he has given us, this bounty of health, this ability of goodness, this beauty of iman, so many blessings we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Yet how do we use it? What is it really being used for? That time that we have, are we using that time which is an amanat? Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah takes an oath on time that indeed man is unable to understand this beauty of time. Hence he's always late. Hence he's always finding problem. Do we use that time correctly? This health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, how many of us have already witnessed people who were sound health, but before the month of Ramadan, before it could even dawn upon them, they are no longer here with us today. This gift of health that we have, what are we using it for? We have to ask ourselves this question. We need to stop, look around, and understand what is the objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now, you probably would think, well, we're already in the month of Ramadan. Yes, but we still have time. There are 15 days left. And the reason and the objective of this is that you've got to learn to plan yourself. You've got to learn to pace yourself. You've got to learn to focus on yourself. Plan yourself. Identify a task that last Ramadan you were unable to do. Whether it be the recitation of Quran, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even nafil salah, and focus on it. Take out time that this month here, last Ramadan, I couldn't read Quran properly. But this Ramadan, I'm going to make it. It's going to be different. Last Ramadan, I was unable to make that amount of zikr that I wanted to. But this Ramadan is going to be different. So identify a task. The second one is pace yourself. Remember, it's not about how fast you can achieve something, but rather is how efficiently you can do it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who are done efficiently and consistently, even though if it may be done a little. Now what tends to happen is the month of Ramadan kicks in and all of a sudden the first day of Ramadan, you made 5 para khatam. Then the second day you make another 3 para. But by the fourth day now, you're reading only 2 paras. By the fifth day, you're reading quarter para. By the sixth day, you gave up completely. So it's not about how much you can achieve. It's about how efficiently you can do it, even if it be little. Now, I do understand that it's important that every Muslim makes 2 khatam of Quran in the year. One is specifically in the month of Ramadan and one throughout the year. But if we are of that caliber where we find it very hard to achieve this, then don't start a new Quran, but continue at a pace where you can keep on reading Quran every day. Even if it be something as little as 1 page, do it, but don't stop. Because the idea for you in your Ramadan is now to build yourself for after Ramadan. You see, if you have a teaching background, then you'll know in your class, there are those who are, mashallah, high flyers, and there are those, bichara, who are middle, and then there are those who, you know, you have to keep on making dua for them. So in the very same manner, there are those people who have high levels of spirituality. There are those who are, you know, in between, and there are those who require dua. I think, and I would assume that we all are in the last part, where we all require dua. So this month of Ramadan is such that we have to focus more than anyone else. We have to build ourselves that, look, 15 days of the month of Ramadan is gone. Have I reached a target in my spirituality? If the answer is yes, keep on going. If the answer is no, then let us take a time. Let us sit and ponder and reflect and look at how we can now push ourselves forward even after the month of Ramadan. So the whole idea relies on your ability to focus and understand what is required of you. You have the added responsibility of being a mother, of being a wife, etc. But that everyone also has some other responsibility. So it's not something unique to only you. Everyone has some responsibility or the other. But guess what? There are people out there who are focusing and doing everything that they possibly can to make sure that their Ramadan goes well. You know, and another important point that I want to share with you is that you've got to learn to take the risk or lose the chance. You've got to learn to take a risk or lose the chance. I want to share it with you in the form of an incident, a story. A person was walking along the road and all of a sudden he fell into a drain and he lands into a fast flowing stream underground. But he realizes that the stream is not flowing with clean water, rather it's flowing with dirty sewage water. So the problem gets more difficult as the current gets stronger and he can't get out. So unfortunately, he has to go with the flow. A little while later, he sees another drain. And the difference is this drain had a ladder popping out leading to the road. And he realizes all he has to do is jump up a little, grab a rung of that ladder, and he will be safe and in no time back on the road. But at the last minute, he chooses not to. And he continues to flow with the dirt. And this ladder after ladder keeps on coming in. So he passes ladder after ladder. Each one, he keeps telling himself, I'll wait for the next one. I'll wait for the next one. I'll wait for the next one. So he doesn't take the risk. And every time he loses this chance. And eventually the stream takes him into a sea. But it's not an ordinary ocean. But rather it's an ocean of raw sewage, filth and dirt. And then he realizes he will have to stay here forever because there's no ladder whatsoever to help him and no one will be able to come and help him. Respected mother, sister, for years we've been swimming in the filthy waters of sin. And every Ramadan it's like that ladder that can get us out of that sin. And we keep saying, next year, next year, next year. Soon the time will come if we're not going to grab onto Ramadan. Or in this case, the time we have left, it must not be such that we end up in the oceans of Jahannam. And by then, no one will be able to come out. So it's important for us to understand that we are so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan. On a normal day, you and I are so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mountains of sin we carry and perpetrate every day, it's unbelievable. In the time of the Banu Israel, they would commit sin at night. It is mentioned that sin the next morning would be written on their doors of their homes. Not only their doors, but that very same sin would be written on the doors of 40 neighbors to the north, 40 neighbors to the south, 40 neighbors to the east and to the west. If that were to apply here and right now, imagine how embarrassed we would be. None of us, including myself, will even want to leave our homes because everyone would know the sins that we commit. So if we never experienced this month of Ramadan, can you imagine how far we would be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here Allah gives us this month of Ramadan. Allah is telling us that, I'm giving you this month of Ramadan. I want you to get closer to me. It's an ideal opportunity for us to loosen and get rid of all that excess baggage and run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fafirru ilallah, fafirru ilallah. Run to Allah, run to Allah. This is what Allah wants. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O insan, O mankind, O daughters, O mothers, O sisters, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What is the sin of Allah that you have turned away from Him? What is the sin of Allah that you have turned away from the generous being that has supplied and given you every bounty since the day you were born? That very same Allah that clothed you, that very same Allah that provided for you, That very same Allah that had kept you comfort and taken care of you, is there any sin that Allah has done unto you that you have run away from Him? Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. How could one ever think and ponder that Allah the Majestic, Allah Al-Kareem, has committed any sin upon us? It is I, it is you, it is all of us that have moved away from Allah. Allah has never ever abandoned us. But today, we have abandoned our Allah. So this month of Ramadan is there for you to reconnect. Today we envy the lifestyle of the rich and famous. We are overawed by the publicity that they receive. Even their deaths are globally publicized. And we get so worried, we want to even cry. That if some actor or actress or someone are trending on TikTok or Instagram or wherever it may be, if something happened to them, we are so bereaved. But do we ever ponder that when these people die, did they die as a believer or a disbeliever? If they died as a disbeliever, then you can be rest assured that all their actions, all that publicity will be nothing for them on the day of Qiyamah. You get overawed when they walk on a red carpet. You get stunned when you see how much of makeup and how beautiful they look. You get excited when they can hold a handbag made from this one and a handbag made from that one. My sister, understand. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِي فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَا. When that person gets his book, when that person gets his book, when you get your book on the day of Qiyamah in your right hand, هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَا, you will shout out and call out, hang on everyone, come and look at the stardom that Allah has given me. Look at how I've passed my test and examination. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, immediately angels will surround this person. They will take this person and enshroud him or her with garments from Jannah. Thrones made from musk, jewels, diamonds and gold will be brought forward. They will be made to sit on it. And the angels will carry this throne. Look at the stardom. You talking about Hollywood and red carpet. Allahu Akbar. What a joke. What a joke. Look at the stardom of a Jannati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put this person on that pulpit. Allah will put that person on a throne. The angels will carry the throne. People will turn around and look. People will sit and stand. People will open their jaws wide open, overawed, and think and wonder, who is this that is passing us by? Is it an angel? Is it a prophet? Perhaps maybe it might be Allah Himself. And the angels will announce, no, this is the one who had passed their test in this dunya. This is the stardom waiting for you. This is the honor that is waiting for you. Think about it. And on the day of Qiyamah, these people who in this world who ran after publicity, who's only worried about how they are on TikTok and bloggers, etc., who's worried for name and fame, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحِ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. Allah gives an example and a parable of those who disbelieve. They disbelieve in Allah. أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحِ. Their actions will be of no avail for them on the day of Qiyamah. It will become, فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ, it will become like ashes blown in the wind on a violent stormy day. Their actions will have no value whatsoever. Like how you would take ash, like how you would take feathers and throw it into the air on a windy day. They will have no impact whatsoever on that wind. In the very same manner, on the day of Qiyamah, their actions will have no impact for them whatsoever. Yet a believer is such, one kajur he gives to a fasting person, that will have such an impact. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions and he says, the reward of giving a fasting person one kajur is more than the reward of the mountain of Uhud. Can you imagine one kajur? If a kajur can do this, Can you imagine one ayat of the Quran that you recite in the month of Ramadan? Can you imagine the weight of one Allahu Akbar mentioned in dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you imagine one subhanallah, one tasbih of subhana rabbi al-a'la made in sajda, what value it will have on the day of qiyamah? Reward is such a thing. Reward is such a thing that this dunya can never carry it. That is why a believer is given the reward in the hereafter. When it comes to a disbeliever, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal gives them the reward for every good that they do, even if it be taking care of an ant, if it be taking care of an animal, if it be being good to another human, Allah will bless them the reward in this world, and that's it. And the reason for this is simply because of no iman. So they will get their reward in this world, but in the hereafter, because of no iman, they will have nothing. But the beauty of a believer by virtue of iman, he will get his full reward in the hereafter. So what can we say regarding his good life in this world? This is the after effect. This is the effect of that reward. So basically, for us to understand it, it's like a slice of bread. The slice of bread is the actual reward that is kept in the hereafter. And the crumb that you get from that slice of bread is the effect of that reward that you get in this world. So a believer will never lose. A believer will never lose. So we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiple times. Allah shukr a million times, a billion times, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen you, my mother. Allah has blessed you with iman. Allah has given you the gift of iman. Look, the truth be told, we never get this iman because of our surnames. We never got this iman because of our surnames. We never got this iman because we inherited from our fathers and mothers. We never got this iman by fluke or chance. We never even win this iman over a bet or through a lotto. It was surely through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the millions and billions of people that had stepped foot on this earth from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till the end of days, Allah chose you. Yes, Allah chose you to be a part of the greatest ummah and the best ummah to come. Imagine, we are the last ummah to come in this world, but the first ummah to enter into Jannah. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimullah mentions under the chapter of the virtue of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that even Jannah is haram upon any ummah until the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters first. When a person passes away, he will see his abode in Jannah, in his qabr. But entry into Jannah is not there yet. Imagine millions of people from the time of Adam alayhi salam who followed their prophets correctly. They are busy witnessing their places in Jannah, but they can't even put one foot in Jannah until you enter into Jannah, until the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters into Jannah. You and I could have been in the ummah of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and today, who knows, Sunday we could have been sitting in a church. You and I could have been from the ummah of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and who knows, today we could have been sitting in a synagogue. We could have been idol worshippers. Today we could have been sitting in a temple. But Allah chose you. Irrespective, Allah chose you. What are you doing with that gift that Allah has given you? So Allah in His great wisdom knows why He chose us. So let's focus and build our akhirat. Don't focus on those who are trending. Don't focus on what handbag the lady next to you got. No one wants to know what shoes they came with. Don't focus on that. Don't worry about what tag that scarf carries or what tag that veil carries. Focus on your akhirah. Focus on your akhirah. That's where you're going. That's where you're going to be. There was once a prophet who was sitting in a gathering, and he noticed the angel of death sitting in that gathering. So as he was speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this angel kept on coming closer. At first, he thought that the angel was here for one of the people sitting in a gathering. But then he got worried as he saw this angel coming closer and closer and closer. Eventually, he cut his talk and the people dispersed, but the angel of death remained. So the angel comes up to him and he says, I'm here for something and you know what? So this Prophet of Allah said that, how is it that you're here? I still have a lot of work to do. So the angel said, no, your time is up. So this Prophet said that, I haven't been given any memo, so to say, that my time is up. I have so much more to do. There are so many people that need to turn to Allah. So the angel said, but Allah has already given you signs. So this Prophet mentioned and said, what sign? I never receive anything. You know, like how sometimes someone would say, I sent you a message, and you would say, but I never receive anything. There's a problem with my data. Oh, I don't have Wi-Fi. We never had electricity. I never received the email. I never received the letter. We make so many excuses. So in the very same manner, this Prophet said, no, I have received nothing. So the angel of death says, can you remember the time when you used to run up a particular hill or mountain? So this Prophet said, yes. So the angel says, can you do it now? He says, no, man, I can't. You know, my knees are sore. He said, that was one of the signs. He says, can you remember the time when you had beautiful hair? It was shining, full of strength and vigor. Do you have the same now? He says, well, it's gone all white. He said, this is another sign. He says, can you remember a time when you never had a single cough? What is your condition now? He says, now, you know, I find it hard to breathe, man. He says, this is another sign. How many signs have come upon you, my mother and sister? How many signs have come upon us? These are the signs telling us that our time is near. A time is going to come and we're going to leave. It is our duty now to prepare for our akhirah. On the day of Qiyamah, wallahi, we are not going to answer for anyone else but ourselves. Allah is not going to ask you anything else besides of someone else. Allah is going to question you on your actions. So let us use the month of Ramadan. Let us utilize it correctly. Let us make every effort in the time that we have. Break up your time. You know your responsibilities. Figure out something whereby you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I leave you with this. You got 15 days left. You got the 10 days of itikaf. 5 are the odd nights. And in that night is the night of power. What are you going to do about it? What change are you going to make? Are you going to continue this lifestyle where you feel that everything is honky-dory and everything is going well and that's all that matters? Or are you going to turn to Allah and become a person worthy of the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In today's world, when we live in a world of feminism, where people say that, no, you need to claim back your right. It is wrong for you to be at home. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. A tariqa of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's wives was such that they remained at home and gave encouragement to the effects of deen. So in a world where we live of feminism, where everything is seen to be wrong, you and I have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us. We talk about men, they talk about men are being more superior than female. But when it comes to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone is equal. The playing field is equal for everyone. Yes, the responsibilities in this world are different. Let's not confuse that fact. The responsibilities in this world are different. But when it comes to spirituality, then we all are equal. I remember my ustad, he mentioned one incident and he said of a lady in South Africa. You know, we always talk about our akabir ulama and the ability to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in their dream. But he mentioned there was one such lady who was so pious, every night without fail, she would make the ziyarat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every night. So it's not impossible. There's no such thing as you cannot do. You can do it. But you have to figure yourself out. You have to figure a way out on how you're going to do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the limited days that we have in the month of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to use it correctly, and let it be a means of us getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, my beloved mother and sister, our main objective is Jannat. That's what we want. And even a person with the slightest bit of iman understands that there is a responsibility, that there's an objective of this world. Everything comes to an end. The happy times come to an end. The sad times also come to an end. But we have to prepare for our akhirat, because this is what Allah wants. Allah put us on the face of the earth so we can get tested. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah wants to see how many of us can do good deeds. So what good deeds are we doing? You know, and it's important, man. You know, even with our daughters, etc., you have to grow them up properly. Encourage them in deen. Encourage them about making ibadat. This is what we want. This is what is required. And not only that, you know, and the last point I want to share with you is that, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with a beautiful gift of persuasion. And, you know, persuasion is a quality that has come from our mother Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. Many a times, if a husband says no, but if the wife goes and talks to him kindly, before he can blink an eye, whatever was supposed to be done is done. This is the power of persuasion. In World War II, they used women to persuade men to take part in the war. They would go, if a person came back from war and served his time, they would ensure women would walk with him everywhere. And this used to serve as a persuasion for those who never used to take part. In the time of the Ad and Thamud, it is mentioned, Shuaib alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, the people asked him for a sign. So Allah Ta'ala gave him a camel that came out from the mountain. But this camel was so huge that it would drink up the water, as a result of which they used to have days by which they used to take the camels. But eventually they hamstrung that camel. They killed that camel. Who do you think was behind it? It was two women who persuaded men to go and slaughter that camel. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming you for anything. Just follow me on my thought pattern and I'll get to my point. When it came to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, when the angels came down to destroy the nation, they came down as beautiful and handsome, good-looking men. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam had taken these men and kept them in his house. Eventually, they revealed that they are here to destroy the people. But before that, the people came to know about it. Who do you think was responsible for that? It was the wife of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Hence, she was also from amongst those who were destroyed. Then you get women like the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was put into that basket, his mother had put him into that river. Allah caused that basket to flow past the palace of Fir'aun. It was there that Asiya alayhi salatu wasalam saw this child and immediately went and grabbed this child. Fir'aun at that time, in that year, was killing male children. And somehow he sensed that this child was different. But who do you think persuaded him to keep that child? It was none other than Asiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam climbed the mountain of Hira and stayed there for a few days, it was there that revelation came to him, and Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam had come down to him with the beautiful verses of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came down from that mountain in a state of fright, and he rushed to his wife's arms, Khadija radiallahu anha. And what did he say? He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Dathiruni, Dathiruni. And what was her reply? She told him that you are a good person. Allah will never abandon you. Now, in all these cases and incidents, you will see the power of persuasion right there in front. Khadija radiallahu anha persuaded Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She was his strength. She created that revolution within him, as a result of which he became the greatest of all. Asiya alayhi salatu wasalam, she told Fir'aun, keep him. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam became one of the powerful prophets of Allah. And those women who used their power of persuasion, look at what they did. History will remember them
for the evil that they did. My beloved mother and sister, you have the power of persuasion at your hand, at your disposal. It is not a bad quality. It is a good quality coming from Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. Use it in your home. Use it, persuade your husband. Right now, our masjid, you know, part of the imam group in Raystop, we noticed that now, you know, come the 10th night, 15th night, etc., our safs are gone less. From 4 safs, 5 safs, now you're getting 2 safs, 3 safs for Taraweeh. Where are the men? You have the answer. Use your persuasion. Get them out of the house. Tell them to go to the masjid. Even your sons, you have this power. Not only in the month of Ramadan, 5 times salah. Salah in Jamaat is 25 to 27 times more better than salah individually. Many a time women folk say, but you know, we don't get this reward. There is no such thing as that. You do get the reward. If you persuade your husband to read his salah with Jamaat, then definitely Allah will never shorten your reward. You too will get the reward of Jamaat. So use this power that you have, this power of persuasion correctly. Push the menfolk into the masjid. Push them in the path of Allah. Push them to be a part of da'wat and tabligh. Push them in everything that is good and khair, because you will get the reward. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will bless you. A person will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah and he will say, oh Allah, you know, it doesn't make sense. Allah will call for his deeds or her deeds. She will say, it doesn't make sense. She'll do the maths. I lived on earth for only 20, 30, 40 years. And what is this mountain of good deeds that I see before me? Allah will say two things. Allah will say, these are all those du'as you made and I never answered. And these are all the rewards of those people whom you encouraged to do good. That person will say, oh Allah, in regards to the du'as, I should have made du'a. You never answered anything in this world and give me the reward in the hereafter. The point being, you will also have that share. So my time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. Please keep us in your du'as. Keep the ulama in your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. May Allah forgive us all. May Allah protect us and our families and our children and our progeny till the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep iman running like a strong stream in our families till the day of Qiyamah. That on the day of Qiyamah, we can look back and say that everyone from our progeny had the gift of Iman and every one of them had done something good with this gift of Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitnas of Dajjal, from all the fitnas that are out there in this world today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.